Our call to worship today is found in Psalm 103, verse 1. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are just so thankful we can gather together, worship, bring praises to you. Lord, we thank you for all these opportunities. May this service be a blessing in your sight through message, through song, through fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be looking in Colossians. Not a big surprise to many of you. Today we're going to be in chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4. And it's entitled, Start Living. Start Living. So follow along as I read the passage. I'm in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. And it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Two chapters left in this book, just two. And these two that we're going to be looking at in the future is focusing on Christian living, on what we need to be doing. You see, in the previous first two chapters, Paul discussed the supremacy of Christ, discussed that Christ is God, we should have him first. Paul also talked about his labor for the church, the things that he has done to help the church, to get it moving. And he also taught them about freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And they are not under any human regulations because they are complete in Christ. Now, Paul is, what do we do with it now? What do we do? That's where we're going to start today. What do we do with it? Now, I really, really love the way Paul starts this new thought off. He is reminding the people, if then you have been raised with Christ. He's reminding them of the past, been raised. When we go back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, if with Christ you died, all in the past. So they died. And they were raised. And when we think about this, we died to sin, to our sin nature, when we have Christ. And at that moment, too, we are raised up with Christ, spiritually. All this is past tense. When you say that you're saved, you use it with past tense on it. Do you say you're saves? Or you're being saving, whatever? It's all in the past. It's in the past. So, there's three tenses to salvation. Three tenses. We looked at the past. So the Christian has died with Christ and has risen with Christ in the past. Of course, this is the first part of salvation, the past tense, and that is what we call justified, justification, where God takes and deals with your sin and makes you a new creation. You have been justified. Now we're going to look at the present tense, which is sanctification. Which, of course, is an ongoing process in which we strive for perfection. We strive for perfection. That is why Paul commands the people to seek the things that are above. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Of course, this is the place where Christ is, and Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when we look at this, the right hand of somebody is the place of honor. Christ is with God at the place of honor. And then we look at the phrase, seek things that are above. Now we talked about this a few weeks ago, about philosophy. Almost sounds like a philosophical statement, seek the things that are above. No, that's why Paul made it very clear. He says, he specified it. One of those words I don't like. He specified, seek things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So that's what they should be seeking. He's telling the people to be aware of Christ because of his position in front of God. Now we're going to look at what Paul meant when he said, seek the things that are above. Now one clue to this is found in Matthew 6:33, which states, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is telling them to seek the kingdom of God. Desire it. Desire it. And so we look at Matthew 6:33, and then we look at Colossians 3. And it's the same Greek word. The same Greek word. Zetine. It is a present active imperative, which means it's a continuing process. The people are to continue to keep his command. It's ongoing. So the question is, are they to seek anything special? What is it they are to seek? And after studying this for a while, what I found is the things above refer to spiritual values that characterize Christ. Some characteristics of Christ are forgiveness, humble, meekness, love, gentleness, strength. All of these things you are to be seeking. And when we look at the life of Christ and how he handled situations and the example he put before us, those are things that we should be imitating. The way he did things, his characteristics. Now these are just a small list. These are just a small list of the heavenly values. The heavenly values. Seek these things, Paul's saying. Seek them. And the next command, he tells the people, is to set your mind on things above. So seek them and set your mind. At a glance, it's like, are these the same thing? Is he repeating them? It's almost the same. However, there's a difference. This is a more of a thought process or way of thinking. It's getting the right mindset. So this Greek word translates to think. To think on Christ. Again, continuous, ongoing. They need to keep doing this. They are to focus their thoughts on the things of God and not the things of the earth. Of course, Paul again got done telling him what some of the things of the earth were, the human regulations. Don't focus on that. Focus on things that are of God. Not our selfish desires, not on things of the earth. We heard that statement, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You've heard that statement. We have. I don't like that statement. I'm going to say that statement is not true. When you are so earthly minded, you are going to be thinking about Christ. You're going to be thinking about God. How did Christ come down and live? What things did he do? He came to serve. So when you're thinking about heavenly things such as Christ and God, God sent his son to serve. And that should be on your mind. So if you're thinking about serving other people, would you be considered earthly good? Yes. Yes, because you're striving to do the things that he has you to do for his glory. Yes, we could be so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good, when we think about ourselves. But when we think about God, his dwelling place, what his son, we can have a great impact on those around us. And Paul, he just got done rebuking heresy and the false mindset for the earthly mindedness. So think of the things of God. Set your mind on him. He's telling them to put their mind on the things of Christ and continue to focus on him. So Paul just gave us two commands and two verses. That's almost too much for some of us. So you got two things to do in two verses. I'm going to just throw it out there. So we can be more like Christ. So the first one we're going to look at, seek the things above, the characteristics that Christ has. And there's many of them. But the one I chose to look at was forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, I believe this is one of the hardest things to do, is to forgive. When we don't forgive, things have a tendency to pile up and keep piling up and keep piling up. See, we don't like to forgive because we like to remember when we've been hurt. We don't like to forgive because sometimes that shows weakness in some minds. I disagree with that. But I must say, to forgive does not mean to forget. You cannot forget when bad things have happened, when people have done wrong to you. You can't forget it. And some things I believe we should not forget. We should not forget. That helps us to be more aware. So, if we can't forget, how do we forgive? Well, first off, take it to God. Say, God, help me deal with this situation. Help me to forgive. Lay it before him. First and foremost, lay it before him. The one way that we forgive is to, the simple thing, not to bring it back up. Stop burying things and then taking your shovel and digging it back up again. Now, not bringing it up to that person again is one way of doing it. Not bringing it up into other people, not even just to vent, but bury it and leave it there. Next question is, what happens if they don't know they wronged you? And you've got this burning anger inside of you. Some people are sensitive, and other people aren't aware of that. So you might have been unintentionally hurt. How do you deal with that? Well, the way you deal with that is going to that person and saying, hey, you hurt me in this aspect. I want to let you know that. And you can work it out that way. You can. But what about giving it to God? Say, hey, God, this person did something to me. Help me to deal with this. Help me to forgive. And do you have to approach the other person? Absolutely not. You don't have to. You can forgive them in your own heart. And again, we do that by not digging it back up and throwing it in the face, not even joking around about it to your friends, even having fun over it at somebody else's expense. Because if you're talking about it, did you really forgive? Are you moving on? Forgive them in your heart. I really love it in Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While he was being crucified, forgive them. While he was being hurt, forgive them. During this time, forgive them. Jesus set the bar pretty high. It's a high bar. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. Be striving to reach that. Always give it to God. Ask him to help you deal with these issues. Especially forgiveness. It can be so hard to do. This also helps us with our mindset as well. Why do we forgive? Because we don't want to hold on to anger. We want to do what God has called us to do. We want to be more effective. See, when we seek the characteristics of God, seek the characteristics of Christ for our lives, we develop a mind that thinks on things that are above. They kind of help each other out. It's continuous. It's a command. It's a verb. Back to English class. I thought when I got to college, no more English. Yeah, huh? I'm always using English. Have to go back to them old books. We need to do these things daily, not when we feel like it. Stop focusing on the world. Start focusing on the creator of the world. Now, I talked about forgiveness and joking around. And I wish my older son was here because I'm going to talk about him. But it's a good thing he's not. Last year, Super Bowl Sunday, we were watching the Super Bowl at my grandma's house. She only had a few months left. Well, you know, we'll spend it with grandma. So we were watching it. All of a sudden, one of the best plays came on. It was a pass. The ball was in the air. Two guys were going for it. Austin rolled over, touched the remote control, turned the channel. And I got to thinking, and that was this morning I was thinking about this. Did I forgive him? Yeah, I bust his chops a little bit about it. But do I need to? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Forgiveness, should I be bringing that back up? Should I have told you about it? Absolutely not. But give him a hard time, tell him to stay. And for this year, we're going to make sure he's nowhere near the remote. You know, remembering, we'll forgive you, but you stay away from this. But yes, it's not bringing it back up again. Keep it buried. And he said, you know what, I'm sorry. I know you're sorry, but we're going to haze you for a little bit. And some people can do that, and some people can take it, others can't. We've got to be sensitive to them as well. Next, Paul moves to tell the people why they should be seeking Christ. Why did I tell you this? He goes back and tells them that they had died. He keeps bringing that up. That's past tense. The believer has died to the old nature and has been spiritually resurrected. And the really great thing is the salvation process is not over with yet. But God saved me from my sin. Yes, he saved you. He took your punishment. He justified you. Sanctification. Now we're on to. That's our journey right now. We're on to striving for perfection. Are we going to reach perfection? Absolutely not. Until the future. See, the believer looks forward to the physical resurrection. At a later time when they will be complete. Their salvation will be complete at a later time. This is called glorification. Glorification process. Now, Paul tells them that they are hidden with Christ in God. Notice the phrase, with Christ in God. Jesus talks about this in John 10:27-29. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So we're in Christ. We are risen with Christ. We are in Christ who is in God. And this is more evidence for the security of a believer. Nothing can take you away from the Father's hands. Nothing can take you away from Christ. That's where you're hidden. If Christ is in your life, that's where you're at. Your reward, yes, will be in his presence. While we're here, we're to strive to be like him. Strive to be like him. We are secure in him. Next, Paul puts it all together. The people need to seek the things of Christ, have a mindset on Christ. This way they can grow more in him to work towards perfection. Paul is telling them about the future aspect of salvation. The believer died to the old nature, then they are raised with Christ spiritually at that moment. It's a process to which is below our conscious mind, to where when we first give our lives to Christ, God does all this wonderful stuff that we don't feel. We're justified. After that, we are to be sanctified and work towards a perfective life. The believer is to strive to be like Christ, so Christ will be revealed through them. You want Christ. You want people to see Christ through your life, by what you say, do, and behave. Then when Christ calls the believer home, they will be complete in their salvation and appear with him in all glory, in all glory. That's the ultimate reward. Being in the presence of Christ, being in his presence. That is why we are to do the things that God has put on our hearts to do. Know why God has you here. Figure out what plan he has. He's given us all gifts to use. It's your job to figure out what those gifts are, to figure out what plan God has for you. He's all hardwired us for different things. That's why Paul uses the metaphor, the body of Christ. We are to be active. We're supposed to be moving in the things he's called us to move to. So as I was going through this passage, I said, you know what? This is great. Very appropriate for Communion Sunday. It talks about the believer being raised in Christ, resurrected in Christ. We died to the old sin nature and were made alive in Christ. We are secured with him in God. Nothing can take us away from the love of God. Nothing. We are to seek the things where Christ is seated, set our minds on him. We must never forget the things that Christ went through so he could present us before God. Present us perfect in front of the Father. Philippians 2:12 states, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." He's not saying question your salvation. If you have Christ, continue to strive to live for him. Continue to grow in him. Continue on in him. Like I said, the salvation, you're saved, yes, past tense. You're to keep going on. Keep striving for perfection. The believer is secure in Christ, but keep working. You're not home yet. You're still here. See, this is why God sent his son. so we can draw closer to Him. We remember that it is Christ's works that save, not ours. It's what He has done. It's what He has done that saves. Today we talked about living for Christ. Start living today. So I'm going to read Luke 9:23, which goes along with this. And it says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily."